music is such a powerful way of healing and connecting in a way that other things can't. And I feel very free when I sing, that it's almost effortless. That's how it feels when I'm in the moment.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. I'm a creativity coach, and I'm the chief encouragement officer. I work with people as creators and as artists to generate change through curiosity and imagination that invites creativity into problem solving to address life challenges. My guest, Victor Johnson, is a singer-songwriter from Bend, Oregon. Victor's recent release, a double album named January Blossom, is a collection of songs that represent experiences, and it is a story of transformation from breakup to feeling worthy of love. Victor is transparent about a tender time in his life and reveals his journey of healing. We are fortunate to hear his journey through song and creativity. And while I felt such a strong pull to reach through the internet and give Victor a hug, I'm reminded that Victor doesn't need to be fixed and is not broken. I'm reminded of these rare moments when I have stood in the presence of others as a being worthy of love. I felt heartened by Victor's description of a supportive community and how he used his artistry to heal. If you would like to experience a path to healing through your own creativity, I offer creative challenges, workshops, and all manner of encouragement. Find out more at www.danielrmandel.com. Very delighted to introduce my guest, Victor Johnson, singer-songwriter. Welcome to the Creative Engagement Podcast, Victor.
Thank you, Dan.
Take us inside. What is your experience of engaging with your creativity?
Well, it's something I've been doing all my life. I've always felt connected to nature. Well, I started writing songs in high school, and my high school drama teacher, who I'm actually still friends with on Facebook, I showed her lyrics and she would encourage me to keep writing. And then I went to college. When I was in high school, I was somewhat of a metal prog head, Iron Maiden, Rush, Yes, and Jethro Tull. But then I got to college and discovered Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and Van Morrison and Bob Marley, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and James Taylor, and I just kept writing songs in college. Even from the very beginning, I used a lot of nature imagery, sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the trees, felt drawn to nature, and early on, people would tell me I used unusual chord progressions, and they would tell me I sound like Morrissey of the Smiths, who I didn't know who that was. I still hear that today. I found out about them later, but I've used creativity to express myself when I'm experiencing really deep feelings of some sort of another. I mean, it could be a love song. The album I just recorded, I had met a woman in November and I totally fell for her and wrote her 6 beautiful songs, just gorgeous songs. And then in January, she broke my heart and I wrote 16 more songs in just over a month. Like every 2.5 days, I'd pick up the guitar and something else would come out. And they were all very different. These songs are all very different from each other. And I was devastated because I felt a real soul connection, and everything just ended kind of abruptly. And so I had to find a creative outlet to express all these feelings. And my friends on the coast of Oregon knew what I was experiencing, and I really wanted to see the ocean. So they got me a room in a hotel right on the beach. I really thought about the ocean a lot and wrote a song before I headed to the coast. And I took my 13-year-old with me. And then we got to the coast and took pictures of the sunset, but it was like freezing cold. But there's this beautiful sunset in January. And I had tickets to see Bruce Coburn in Salem that weekend. So we got to the coast, and Saturday night we drove 2 hours down these long winding roads with no one on them to Salem, Oregon, and saw Bruce Coburn, front row seats in this beautiful theater, the Elsinore Theater. And the show was over, and then we drove back to the coast down these long winding roads. So the next day I wrote a song about that whole weekend called Slow Winding Roads. I even referenced Bruce Coburn in one of his songs, Lovers in a Dangerous Time. But in the past several years, I've also used creativity to cope with traumatic events, like, for example, the Portland train attack, which happened in 2017, where two men were stabbed to death on the Portland train. Talesia Namke Meche, one of those men, his last words were, "Tell everyone on this train I love them." I was actually in Portland that weekend and drove back to Bend 3 hours, and I couldn't get those words out of my head. And the next day I wrote a song called On This Train for him, written other songs for victims of tragedy. Creativity is such a great outlet for expression and for coping with things, finding some way to create some beauty, to find the beauty in whatever is happening, even out of tragedy. I think there's always beauty, always something good that comes out of anything.
Yes, so much. I'm so sorry that the situations have been kind of sad that have led to these creative expressions. What do you think that it does for your being to be able to have this outlet to express yourself with such finesse? And your voice is really beautiful, and it sounds like you have a really good palette of chords and instruments and ways to express yourself. What does it do for your being? Like, what happens now on the other side of having expressed yourself?
Well, in this case, with this new album, I think the most important thing was that I learned was all this is coming from me, all this beauty and grace. It's something that I possess. You know, before I met this woman last fall, I'd been in a toxic relationship for almost 10 years, which I had left, and I was still healing from, still recovering from. When I met this woman, Jennifer, who I dedicated this album to, she made me believe again, you know, that I was worthy of love and that I could find that connection with someone and experience real, genuine love connection. And yeah, for whatever reasons, that ended in January. You know, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have written all these songs. And I just think it's like a phoenix burning in the ashes, or all the leaves falling off of the trees in the fall and then being reborn in the spring. I think it's just that kind of experience that I've gone through here, where we do that every day. We die and we're reborn like daily when we go to sleep, you know, constantly recreating ourselves. Like how I did when I left Atlanta, Georgia, after 20 years and moved to Bend, Oregon, where I didn't know a soul. Over these past 9 years, I've become a lot more confident in myself, and I'm just really excited to share this music with the world and see where it can take me, see where it leads me.
Is that where you make your home now, is Bend, Oregon?
Mm-hmm. In Bend, Oregon, it seemed like a small town when I moved here in 2014, and it's just grown.
I'm curious, you mentioned earlier that you got some inspiration and encouragement from a teacher relative to theater in high school. Have you ever written like a musical?
No, I enjoy singing songs from musicals like Music of the Night from Phantom. I think I when I was younger, I was really into fantasy and Tolkien. I think I played around with trying to write a Tolkien musical, but never really got anywhere with that.
But this album is like a very prolific, it's a double album, we should mm-hmm. say. There is a sort of theatrical, like we're taken into your world, and there's lots and lots of relational experiences and interior landscapes that you're investigating. It is almost a sort of a musical, just mm-hmm. the music from it.
I agree. And the songs were placed in a very intentional order. Like starting out with Head Over Heels and I'd Be in Heaven, which were songs I wrote when I first met this woman I'd fallen for. And some of them lead into each other, but then there's this really meditative song, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, which was influenced by Beck a little bit. That ends the first disc, but then starting on the second disc is So Much More to Say, because I had so much more to say. And that has kind of a punk feel. But then there's this beautiful song with cello and guitar, A Winter's Day, which the way that song came about, I was writing something on Facebook about how we're just standing in the present, even though we've experienced these things in the past and worry about the future, but here we are in the present. And my friend said, you should write a song using those words. And then I ended up doing that. And it basically told our whole story about meeting each other and then having to let her go. Yeah, I think some of the songs on the second side are more intense, more heavy. The longest song is called The Light Within. And it's about always feeling that light within and never losing sight of that. And then ending with Sweet Bird, which is about letting go. But then the title track, January Blossom, is about surrender, which is kind of a theme throughout, about surrendering to what is and acceptance, which is really hard to do.
I interview a lot of different kinds of artists and many singer-songwriters. How do you make sense of that when maybe a song is too personal and is really just for you and an internal experience versus when it's okay to share that with the public?
Well, a lot of these songs are very personal, but I find that maybe makes them more universal. Sharing my personal experience, what I've been through, like Joni Mitchell did with her Blue album.
Yeah, very like intentional, like confessional.
Confessional to a degree, yes. There's something really genuine about these songs, very different than anything I've written before, where they feel very real, something I've experienced, which is, I think, where the best songs come from. Not so much the imaginative things, but all these songs, I went through them. It's what I experienced. And there's some in there that are optimistic. It's really fluid, I think, floating between sad and happy. And I think those are very fluid things. They're not so concrete.
Yeah, it's a very listenable experience. Your palette of instruments is very kind of traditional, you know, acoustic and electric guitars and pianos and drums and bass. Not a lot of prog rock synthesizers, you know, from your earlier leanings. But yeah, very, very listenable. And your voice is really, really capable and strong and and wonderful, even in the tenderest of moments.
Thank you. I went through periods where I struggled with my voice, living in a place that had black mold, and then going through COVID, having that a couple times. But I feel like I'm in a really good place with my voice. I love singing, and one thing I do during the week is I play for memory care and assisted living centers. Just recently, some group homes where there's only two or three people there listening, but you can see them smile and see how much the music gets across to them.
Yes. Say some more about that. What is your experience of like actually serenading somebody? Not many people go through their whole lives without ever having someone sing a song to them.
I've been doing this for several years, probably since 2018. Then the pandemic kind of put a damper on that. Everything was in lockdown. But then it's picked up again, and I'm doing this like every week. And it just brings me great joy. I incorporate songs from the 20s and 30s, like My Funny Valentine, Stairway to the Stars, Over the Rainbow. Music is such a powerful way of healing and connecting in a way that other things can't. And I feel very free when I sing. That it's almost effortless. I mean, it's not effortless, but that's how it feels when I'm in the moment.
It sounds effortless from our end, yeah. Having this body of work, you know, under your belt, completed and released now, what feels like something that you would explore next? Do you have anything on your radar, or do you always have lots of things in the hopper?
I'd like to create more visibility for myself and ultimately do music more of a full-time thing. I have a day job. I work with developmentally disabled adults as an advocate and support provider, which has been a really great growing experience. And I've learned a lot about myself, which they told me would happen when I first took that job. But I would like to play more performances where people listen, and like listening rooms, house concerts, that sort of thing. It's something I'd like to explore more, which I've never really done in my life. It's a dream that I have that hoping I can create more visibility for myself and put myself out there and play for people.
What is the writing experience? It sounds very easy, like you go from the emotion or the source of what you're writing about to the song very easily. Is that always the case, or
not
is
always.
It just case-by-case basis?
Well, this time, these songs just came flooding through, and that had never happened to me before, ever. Writing 22 songs in 61 days.
It's amazing.
In 2018, for example, I wrote some songs here or there. I wrote three songs in the early part of last year before the fall. One time, like I was writing a song about, well, it was a song about time, about how time doesn't really exist. It's just an illusion. I couldn't come up with a third verse. It was just really bugging me, and I was really frustrated. So I went to sleep, and then I woke up. It was all there, just this third verse. And this song ended up being about the Boston Marathon and a song for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. And it kind of brought the whole song together. So sometimes you just have to take a break and come back to it.
Yeah, that's amazing to write sort of from a dream state.
Mm-hmm. And I love using the guitar to write, using suspensions and interesting chords and blending them with the voice. You can get a lot of interesting, I'm not sure how to describe it, it's all intuitive, but you can be so expressive with the chords you use. There's so much color and presence beyond just the basic major and minor chords. And maybe that's my influences, Rush and Joni Mitchell and the Grateful Dead, or John Coltrane. I named my son Coltrane after him.
Oh, really? Are there ever times when you feel the frustration of not being able to engage with your creativity, or frustrated that you can't express yourself
Because it sounds like you've developed a real ability to express. Have there ever been any things on the other side of the score?
Sure. It was a big deal leaving that relationship I'd been in. It was just a very dark place for me. And I feel like I've just come such a long way. And I have a really good spiritual community here, Unity of Central Oregon, which is where I'm having, we're doing a CD release party there next Saturday.
Oh, great.
And it's been really supportive just to have this spiritual community. I've grown here so much living here in Bend.
If you were to, say, teach a course about love and relationships, it almost feels like your double album there has given us a master class in love and relationships. Is there one big takeaway that you have for yourself or for us as having come through to the other side?
Well, about surrendering and letting go, like the album ends with never forgetting, never letting go of the light within, that your own beauty, regardless of someone broke up with you, or you just have to always remember that and hold on to it. And it's a process I'm still going through. It's kind of surreal releasing this music. It stirred up a lot of feelings, strong feelings. I did send a copy to the woman who inspired all these songs, and Jennifer. I haven't heard from her, so I don't know what she thinks of it all. It's a daily process. Overall, I think I'm in a really good place. I'm a hopeless romantic. So.
Well, and going back to an earlier comment, it sounds like there was a big lesson around appreciating that you are worthy of love,
mm-hmm.
regardless of maybe how people react to you or how a specific relationship goes.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing to realize that we are worthy of love. And
mm-hmm.
it's not always that we're able to feel that feeling or stand in that place of being worthy of love.
And I'm remembering that it's something I do believe, even if I forget it. I think deeper down, I still hold on to that and believe it so much. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it through this whole process. And I had a great recording engineer, co-producer, Clay Smith, who I'd worked with in 2015. And we had done an album together on Beautiful Things. So it was great working with him this time. I remember walking in on February 25th, and he said, yeah, let's do a few songs and see what happens. And we ended up with 22 songs.
Well, and maybe that is sort of the lesson reflecting back to you to serve as a like a grand reminder of your worthiness.
Mm-hmm. And I had received a grant from Oregon Art Commission, which helped me start this whole process, which was encouraging as well.
That's great. There's any support for the arts that we can get, we got to take, right?
Mm-hmm.
What words of encouragement would you have for others who are maybe recovering from relationships or realizing that relationship is ending, or regardless of what their mode of expression is, whether they're a singer-songwriter or a sculptor or a dancer,
mm-hmm.
what words of encouragement would you have for people
to find some creative outlet, maintain that connection to nature? There's so many beautiful places here where I can get outside and spend time in nature. Yeah, find some way to express yourself, even if you're feeling sad. That's where some of the best songs come from, just to believe in yourself and love yourself.
Beautiful, beautiful. Victor Johnson, singer-songwriter, master teacher of love and relationships. We thank you for your contribution. Yeah, thank you for your willingness to be interviewed and coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It was so cool that I found you through the Joni Mitchell discussion list and Jamie Zubari.
Yeah, say a special thank you to Zuby.
I met him in person finally this summer. We saw Joni Mitchell perform at the Gorge in Washington.
Amazing.
And so a bunch of us from the Joni Mitchell list were there I've been a member since 1999, and it's had such a huge impact on my entire life.
Wow. Wow. Well, that'll be a whole nother interview about your experience of watching Joni Mitchell. Yeah.
I'm going to play a song from my new album, January Blossom. This song is called Be My Valentine, Open Your Heart.
Wondering where all the Mondays go, and all the other days we talk about, do they fall in one big melting pot, or were they ever really there at all? We're just orbiting around the sun, we're only here for a while, so open your heart and be my valentine. Are you waiting for a miracle? Looking for a sign from the universe? Are the planets all where they're supposed to be? When I walked into your life, was I on time? We're just orbiting around the sun, we're only here for a while, so open your heart and be my valentine. Yesterday, tomorrow, and today, maybe they're all really the same. Just when you're running far away from me, we'll be sailing under a harvest moon. We're just orbiting around the sun, we're only here for a while, so open your heart and be my valentine. We're just orbiting round the sun, we're only here for a while, so open your heart and be my valentine. Open your heart and be my valentine. Open your heart and be my valentine.
The Creative Engagement Podcast's mission is to have important conversations sharing LGBTQ+ artist, community leader, and creative stories as we encourage everyone to participate in life. Here are some ways you can help. Give our podcast some love. Creative Engagement is an independent, free podcast. Please follow Creative Engagement where you listen to podcasts. Your ratings and comments can help others understand the value. Send your questions and feedback to coach@danielrmandel.com. Share this episode with anyone who you think might enjoy artistic and creative ideas and encouragement. And finally, visit the Creative Engagement website, which is www.danielrmandel.com, to explore courses and coaching to optimize your life. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Mandel.
Creative Engagement.